I don't really want to put anybody on the spot, but I'm going to say it because it's strong in my heart. When we do communion, Brother Vic, thank you for administrating communion. When we do communion, I notice some people don't take communion. What's the point of coming to church and yet you keep hearing the message and you haven't turned your life to Christ? What's the point? You come into church, and you know this is sacred. It's not the drink or the pieces of bread. It's what's behind it. And I remember, I used to be like that. There was a time in my own life, grew up in church, didn't know Christ. There was a time in my own life, I know when they're serving communion, I better not approach. I better not get close. Because I know for a fact my life wasn't right. My life wasn't connected to Jesus. So if you come here, whether you're visiting or not, or you've been coming, and we, you know, that's something we do traditionally every month, and I do encourage the cell groups to take communion. And I understand maybe if you're visiting and you're not sure about communion, everybody's welcome to partake in the Lord's Supper. So I say this really to those of you who did not take communion. You know, see, I notice I put my head down because I'm not looking anybody. Yeah, because it's God's love that leads us to repentance. There's no judgment. But why waste it? Why not make things right? Why don't you give your life to the Lord? Why don't you repent of your sins, your stubbornness, your rebellion, and make things right so when you come, you come with a clear conscience. Or even if you don't have a clear conscience, right now there's a great invitation for you to partake in the Lord's Supper. And I don't want anybody else to miss the rapture. Or anybody else here. I don't want anybody here missing the rapture. Or dying and missing eternity. So if you're here, you haven't taken communion, please listen to me. What's holding you back? I talked to somebody a couple weeks ago. I approached somebody. I was like, well, I noticed you don't take communion. And they're like, well, you know, I'm Catholic. So you come here for Mass? You come here for Mass? You'll miss it. Ben. Now, I'm not saying Catholics are not Christian. Maybe some of them are. I didn't dig deep to find out why the person says I am Catholic. I didn't go down there. But I know if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you have repented of your sin, you've been in Bible studies, you are plugged in into the body of Christ, you will understand when we talk about communion, there's a great invitation for any one of us. When we take communion, we are announcing Christ died for our sins. We are announcing that, right? He rose again, and then he's sitting at the right hand of Father. Coming back for a pure bride. There's no time for us to be playing church. We're not here to play church. We're here to encounter Jesus and be ready for his return. So I challenge you. If your life's not right with God, you make your life right with God. If you have sin in your life, stubbornness, if your head, you know, if you're like hard-headed, stiff-necked, those are all words I find in the Bible. God called the people of Israel all those words. He says they're stiff-necked. They're stubborn. You don't want to be stubborn. So please, listen to me. Listen to my heart. talking to you as your brother today. Get connected with Jesus. He brings peace. He brings life. Connecting with Jesus is life. So all week, I'm like, this week we started a 10-week ministry school in Haiti, which I call detox. 10 weeks. You know, when you do a detox, sometimes when you do it, we've done many detox before. When you do detox, you sometimes like maybe don't eat certain food for the longest time. You know, sometimes you might choose to not drink coffee, and then you, for the first 3 days you go through this crazy headache, but on the fifth day you start feeling a little better because your body is detoxing. So the 10 weeks Bible school, Bible training, I call it detox because every day we have to read 3 chapters in the Bible. So in 70 days, in the New Testament, in 70 days we're going to be reading the whole New Testament. So this week I was in the Word a lot, and I'm teaching on Zoom from 4 to like 5:30, 6 o'clock, the book of Mark. And I'm like, so I'm in the Word. I feel like the Word is just washing my soul. I feel good. I feel connected with the Lord. But yet, I am struggling for a sermon today. I'm like, God, what exactly do you want? I mean, I thought I was going to talk on John, Mark. I'm teaching certain chapters. I'm like, yes, this is the message for today, for Sunday. But my heart couldn't settle. Until this morning. Kendra kept asking, she always asked me, just to encourage me, so what are you going to preach this week? Sometimes this is what the Lord's saying. This week, I'm like, I just don't know. So I believe I have a word for you today. You take it to heart. I'm going to deliver it to you the way it is. This is the danger of rebellion. The danger of rebellion. Because rebellion is an open door to demonic bondage. So here you go. Ryan is reading this book. Ryan, I really want to read that book. I don't remember the title. But Ryan is just sharing with us, bits and pieces. The book is from a demon perspective. So the book is about like somebody is... What's the title of that book? All right, you got it. Yep. That book. I actually, since yesterday, I've been kind of anxious to read it. Because the little seed Ryan is planting in my mind is just like, wow. Oh, nah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. The danger of being rebellious. Listen to this. For many people, the term sin focuses on explicit action. For example, the wrong action we take might be sin, or the right action we neglect might be sin. But one of the things we forgot to put emphasis on is just the mindset of being rebellious. You remember this little innocent child you had? Baby, cute baby, you know, mommy loves you, daddy loves you. And then, bam, all of a sudden, they start retaliate. Remember that baby? Cute little baby. They start, you know, he's like, hey, don't touch this. Well, the moment you tell them, do not touch this, guess what? They want to touch it. It's the heart of men. It's the spirit of rebellion. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Don't go there, I'll read it for you. It says, the Lord says, I have raised children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. Think about it. I don't remember the number. Maybe Robert can tell me. How many people left Egypt on the trip, finally got it right, 14 days. The trip from Egypt to Canaan was 14 days. Was it 11? Okay, let's say between 11 and 14 days. Thanks, bro. All right? So, guys, an 11-day trip, because God wanted his people to be set free, to enter his rest. But then because of rebellion, all of them die. And then that little 11 to 14 day trip turned out to be 40 years. To which I pray, I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me a heart to obey. I want to obey. I don't want to resist your word. When I hear it, I want to say yes and amen and act on it. Because Jesus is coming back and rebellion will keep people from seeing him. Rebellion is a sin. This is what C.S. Lewis says. A creature revolting against a creator is revolting against the source of his own powers. Just like the scent of a flower trying to destroy the flower. A creature revolting against a creator is revolting against the source of his own power. Including even the power to revolt. So therefore, just imagine this beautiful rose who smells good, but that smell, that smell is out to destroy the rose. And you see what's happening in our culture now, right? People despising God. You know, I talk to different people. They say, well, I want to find God on my own. You know, why don't you go to church? Oh, you know what? I'm trying to redefine my relationship with God. Really? You forgot the Bible says our hearts is deceitful. Do you know how or where do I find instruction on what my relationship with God should look like? The Bible, not within Ricardo. There's no truth. You don't have a truth. I don't have a truth. The word of God is the truth. The word of God tells us how do you live your life. Now you have this sect, this new age kind of mindset. Everybody is trying to find God in their own way. Repent. Repent of your sin. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. That's where it's at. A warning. So if you go with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, of course I have it from the NLT. It says, verse 1, now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify something about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun, which we've heard it before. I remember back in the days, maybe like in 2001, there was a group in the Caribbean that says Jesus was coming back May 31st. It was so dumb. And guys, unfortunately, people believed it. And some people just give up their life, quit their job, and they had to go on this certain mountain to wait on the Lord. Isn't that sad? There's a warning. In 2 Thessalonians, people will still try that. It says, please, let's clarify this. Do not be easily shaken. And nowadays, if you don't know where you stand, the world will tell you what you should believe. What are your convictions on sin? What are your convictions on marriages? What are your convictions on managing life relationships? On holiness, keeping your words, being kind, being loving, etc., etc. Verse 3. Well, of course, the rest of verse 2 says, don't believe them even if they claim they have spiritual vision. And you know what? When you study the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, vision and dream is one of them, right? Because the Holy Spirit gives us vision and dream. But vision and dream is the last place God would talk to us. You know the first place God talks? Through the Bible. Everybody wants to hear the prophet. They never read the Bible. Everybody wants to hear this, the word of wisdom from the prophet, but never pick up their Bibles. As a matter of fact, they don't even have a Bible. Verse 3. Don't be fooled by what you say, but by what they say. For that day will not come until the great, underline this word in your Bible. That day, which day we're talking about here? The day of the Lord will not come until the great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed. This is the word of the Lord. So as you're seeing people rejecting God, want to do nothing with God, this is the day for you to cling. As a matter of fact, it goes, let's keep reading because it says down below, you better cling to God. Just like, don't give up. Hold on tight because you're going to have the worries of life, the troubles of life, you know, what people say about you, etc., etc. Church people. Sickness, disease, politics, government come, government goes. You're going to have all that to deal with. People questioning God. It says, don't be fooled by what they say. For the day of the Lord will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed. And the one who brings destruction, he will be exalted himself, defying everything that people call God and every object of worship. That's what's happening in the mindset of, I don't want to say this young generation, even older people too. My generation, the generation before me. I was talking to Robert this week. Was like 80,000 people. That study came out like a couple years ago, right? And every year, 80,000 Christians are renouncing their faith daily. Every day. And you see it. You see like artists, Christian artists, people that used to sing the name of the Lord. They're coming out saying, you know what? I don't believe in God anymore. Don't freak out. There's a prophecy being accomplished. To which I tell you, you better hang on. You remember those days, man? Because even for me, sometimes I'm like, man, I'm sick and tired of people. Just give me a bunch of toilets. As a plumber. You know, just give me a bunch of water heaters. Give me pipes. They don't talk back. They don't have bad behaviors, you know. They're not, you know, there's nothing like installing a beautiful toilet. You know, it's like yes, nice. Seriously. Hang on tight. Sometimes I feel like, man, I want to give up. But then I look at the Holy Spirit. I'm like, well, Lord, where would I go? Okay, give up. Where would I go? Jesus, you're the bread of life. You're the source of life. Drugs? Party? Stealing? What else? Where would I go? And I believe that's where God wants to take us. He wants to take you to a level of total surrender where it's like you're so dead, nobody can offend you. You're so dead to Christ, it's like you live to see the word of the Lord apply in your life. Stop fighting. Start obeying. Because in surrender, that's when you find peace. I say this all the time here. In surrender, you'll find peace. Verse 5. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you, Paul's talking? And I know what is holding him back. For he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back step out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. These verses is talking about, Satan. Of course, I talked about last week how Jesus said in John 14:30, the enemy, me and Satan, we have nothing in common. Meaning Satan has no power over Jesus. So the more you remain connected in Jesus, believe me, the enemy can't touch you. Do you believe that? The more you remain in Jesus, he cannot touch you. Oh, Satan cannot touch me. Satan cannot touch me. He cannot affect me. There's no accident in your life. God has you. He's got you. Look at your neighbor. Help me. Say, he's got you. He's got you. Tell somebody, please. He's got you. Come on. Yeah. Jesus has you. Right, Maureen? He's got you. Right? Right, Blake? Blake, he's got you, right? Amen. Verse 9. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power, signs and miracles. So be aware if you're looking for signs and miracles, because Satan does those things. Oh, signs and miracles. You know, there are people, they're looking for signs and miracles. Even when Jesus was on earth, the Pharisees would come to him. So what kind of sign can you do so we can believe? Even him on the cross is like, well, won't you come down now so we can believe? People want to see something? Yeah, won't you cause this short leg to grow? And then so I can believe. No. This pervert's generation, they're always looking for signs and wonders. But yet, don't want anything to do with surrender to Christ. We must surrender to Christ. Verse 10, it says, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction, because they refuse to love and accept truth. Two things here. To love and accept. And I pray today that you love truth and accept truth. Well, how do you find truth? Read the Bible. Please, my brothers and sisters, read the Bible. Read the Word. Take time in the Bible. Don't expect my little 20 minutes teaching here is enough for you. No, you won't survive. You can't make it if you're not reading, meditating, and obeying the Bible. Right? The Bible says the truth will set you free. But it's not just the truth. It's truth applied. When you know the truth and you live by it, that sets you free. Wow. Thank you. Verse 11. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Verse 13. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters. Loved by the Lord, we are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy. Who makes you holy? Let me hear you. Who makes you holy? The Holy Spirit. He makes you holy. Remember, you've been set apart. He called you to salvation when he told you the good news. In Mark chapter 1, it says, this is the beginning of the good news. John the Baptist is preaching. It says, repent of your sin. And come and get baptized. So you can be forgiven of your sin. Verse 16, it says, verse 15, with these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you. because of the spirit of rebellion, stubbornness, stiff-necked that's going out there, you better remain firm in the teaching of God. Everybody's looking for a buzz. Everybody's looking for this feeling good. You do feel good in the presence of God. I hope you do. I do, man. I love the presence of God. I love playing for Jesus. I never get tired until I'm done. Well, in the moment, I'm like, man, Jesus is so good. Nothing like it. With all these things in mind, my brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and by his grace give you eternal comfort and wonderful hope. And we pray this, I pray this for my brother, again for my brother Walt, because he needs comfort. You know, for people who have lost their loved ones, for the people in Texas, you know, and now all of a sudden it's like the news is like a cycle. Now there's something big. Everybody, they don't talk about those families that lost hundreds of kids, loved ones. You know that? This morning we pray for them. We ask that the Lord would comfort them. I will come back to this, but I want to finish with this story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where it says, verse 23 says, "For rebellion is as a sin of divination." Divination is divino. In Haiti, there's the witch doctors, they call them divino. Non songez pas à ça, mes amis? Divino. I talk to my Haitian speaking here. You know? Divino. A divino is someone, people here, they do that. They go to people that read their palm. I hope that none of you here partake in Halloween parties, in Halloween spirit, because Halloween is the worship of the dead. Oh, it's like, yeah, I'm not saying do not celebrate change of season, fall, yeah, glory to God. Yeah, thank God for every season. But be aware that America, they're involved. People are tormented. Think about it. Who in their right mind would decorate their front yard as a cemetery? When were you in your right mind calling your best friend, say, "Hey, Ryan, let's go for a stroll in the cemetery"? Who does that? Unless you go visit the stone of your loved one. Because, yeah, believe me, you guys know it. Once your loved one's dead. They're done. They're not thinking about you. You know, sometimes you're like, man, I wonder if he's thinking about me. He's not. I'm sorry. It's you and I that stays behind. It's you and I. Living for them is good for them. It's not good for us. That's why when somebody in our midst lost someone on this side of heaven, they need us. It's never, I mean, it doesn't matter how 90 years old, 97 years old, you're never ready. Never ready to let your loved one go to God. Because you're going to miss them. That's normal. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. Divination. So I say that in French, in Creole. Divination. Help me out. Divination. Divination. And you know what that is? Is seeking counsel from evil spirit. Now, I give you a homework. You go in 1 Samuel chapter 15. There's a story of Saul, King Saul. God told him, I want you to go do this, kill these, kill, you know, these people, they are, you know, they're bad. I want them done. I want them to be erased, kill the king, everybody, everything. What did King Saul said? What did he do? He went. At that time, when you go and fight another country, if you kill everybody and you keep the king, and you bring the king in chain, walking, that's a trophy. So for King Saul, he's like, I'm not going to kill the king. I'm going to take him back with me so everybody can see. I preached a message here a couple years ago. I can't remember when. You cannot obey God halfway. And sometimes we make logic with the word. You know, we're trying, but the word says this. I mean, like, if you're a believer, for my young people here, younger generation here, if you're a believer, a follower of Christ, truly following Christ, you cannot be unequally yoked. So you cannot date an unbeliever. Period. That's the word of the Lord. Oh, no, I'm going to pray him into the kingdom. Really? I can tell you stories. We don't have time for that. People are like, well, man, he's so cute. She's so cute. Oh, I love him. If you're truly following Jesus, if you're truly connected with the Holy Spirit, of course you want to get married. Your first top priority, number one, is that person must love Jesus more than he loves me. Priority number one. If they don't love Jesus, guess what? That's not an option. That's deal breaker big time. And that goes not only for young people. It goes for older people, young adults, people who, you know, finding people online. And I know people who are looking for people online. They lower their standard because they want to get hooked. They want to get connected. And then 5-6 years down the road, you didn't find that this person in the presence of God, and you're trying to drag him in the presence of God. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Gain knowledge, gain wisdom. Wisdom is power, right? Gain knowledge, gain wisdom. Once again, according to 1 Samuel chapter 15, 23, rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. And this is what the verse says. Because you have, what? Because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Wow. It's like, well, can God reject somebody? Let me break it to you. Yes. You know, everybody's like, oh, God is so loved. Why would he reject us? Listen, it's not God that's sending people in hell. He said, today, I said before you, life, death. What do you want? I said before you, all of you here, God's setting before you a way to enjoy life so you don't have to be totally buried under anxiety. What are you choosing? Because you're always going to have circumstances in your life that will bring anxiety. But what are you going to do when you find yourself in the middle of those storms? You're going to keep your eye on the storms, or you're going to tell the storms who is in your boat? Can I have an amen? Thank you for that amen. Yeah, because rebellion grieves the Holy Spirit. That's what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Grieves God. When you resist God, when you disobey God, it grieves the Spirit of God. This morning, where are you? Are you resisting God in certain area? Are you making logic with certain things? He knows, you know. I don't know you, but God knows you. And time has come. You do not want to waste God's favor and blessing. Jesus is coming. He's coming back. You know, I never prepare for a series or stuff like that. But I feel like I'm going to be talking about this stuff for the coming weeks. I'll ask the worship team to come up. But I want to give you an opportunity while I ask my prayer team to make themselves available. Please, what is the Lord saying to you this morning? You know, one day every knee will bow before him. Every knee will bow before him. What are some areas in your life you need to surrender to him? And I invite you, you know, just come to the cross, or, you know, kneel down where you're at. You know, let's maybe dim down the lights in the sanctuary for intimacy. But let's give an answer to the word of the Lord, because I do believe God wants to warn us against the spirit of rebellion. As a matter of fact, I know people who has walked They've given their faith up because they keep resisting the Holy Spirit. So would you give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning?